Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And I actually... I totally forgot we had that going. And I actually totally screwed up the introduction. We've been doing this, what, like 5 years now? And I forgot, like, how to say hello. Like, it was a full thing.
I'd say somewhere around 1 in 3 to half episodes at the end. God. And we both say goodbye, and I just sit there staring at you, and you stare at me, and then I'm like, oh, right, I'm supposed to say thanks for listening. So, I mean, whatever. I do the same thing on the other end. It's all good.
I think I'm having just a bad day. I can't get technology to work. I got these nice new lapel mics. To look all fancy and professional.
I think they're called lavaliers.
Oh, yeah. There's one right here.
Can't get the blasted things to work, so...
Well, because you didn't double check that it has the right socket interface thingy. What's it called? The connector.
Well, anyway, it was not doing it for me, so we'll figure out how to make that work, and hopefully... but we're using our trusty mic that's on site.
You know you're just going to buy an adapter for, like, $2, but you're going to have to wait a week and a half for it to get here.
I ain't got no time for that. All right, well, let's kick it off. There is a lot of news, a lot of things happened, a lot of school-related news.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So off the bat, the CBC investigation in Toronto has found that there have been tips put into the government snitch line. Now, as you may be aware, the government of Ontario scrapped the update to the sex ed curriculum for students, okay, which put it back to the sort of 1980s one. They were sued, and in the court case, which they actually just won, the judge specifically pointed to the fact that the Ontario government has repeatedly claimed that, you know, there's latitude there, there's room for teachers to talk about same-sex marriage, to talk about bullying, the fact that homosexuality is a thing that exists.
I mean, it's across the board in every single curriculum. Even if in, like, math, you find that you have a particularly clever class and you teach them a thing, you can pull them aside and say, like, look, this just looks like a bunch of algebra, but here's a cool thing you can do that you might learn in university. And if you have the time, you can spend that extra 20 minutes to teach the students, here's a fun thing you can do with this formula. That's in the curriculum, that if you have the time, you're free to expand.
I mean, in this case, the, like, cyberbullying, which actually got cut, would be one of those cool things you add in for 20 minutes. Yeah, you know. So that's the thing. And they said, you know, it's not like we're banning teachers from teaching this. It's not in the curriculum.
They're just not requiring it either.
But there's room in the curriculum to make it happen.
Okay.
So that's why the government won the case. Well, let's fast forward to a news story that came out of the CBC. The government, when it announced that it was going back on the new curriculum, which is now the old curriculum, to the much, much older curriculum, which is now the new curriculum, what they ended up doing was they created a snitch line. That's not what they're calling it. It's like officially a government conduct reporting line or some such name. Uh-huh. But it's essentially if a parent is unhappy with what's being taught in the schools, they can phone it up and make a complaint. Now, a number of the complaints made, such as, my gosh, that teacher is talking about same-sex marriage, which has been legal for 10 years, is actually being leveled against teachers with the same severity of a complaint as something like sexual advances towards students.
Okay.
So they're phoning it in, complaining about teachers, and the school boards are tying these complaints to the teachers to the same degree that they would be tying...
like misconduct.
Yeah, quite serious misconduct. And that really undermines the whole argument that, you know, we're not banning this from being taught, there's leeway there, when in reality what we're seeing is that if any teacher dares to teach this, and there's one parent maybe that has a disagreement about this, they can complain, they have complained, and it's a misconduct complaint against the teachers themselves.
But wait, didn't we just say that they could potentially teach this as extra material? So why is it, how are they getting snitched on if there's nothing preventing teachers from teaching this, if they have the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that in the court of law, when they were facing the charter rights challenge by the association, the Professional Association for Elementary School Teachers, and a number of others, they made the legal argument that this new curriculum, which is the old curriculum, doesn't prohibit teachers from doing this. However, in reality, their snitch line, where people are making complaints about these sort of extracurricular add-ons that are being put in, they're being tied as allegations of professional misconduct. And that's sort of what the issue is right now. So that sex ed doesn't really address masturbation to the same degree that it used to before. It doesn't address sexting. Somebody, a teacher, had a complaint because they were advising the class not to sext each other.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that is just such an awful thing to suggest.
Well,
you know, because really we want to just not mention it. And then when kids are blackmailing each other, whoops, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's this is an occurring thing now where people are starting to learn the sort of image-driven culture that we're slowly being, we're slowly drifting into, like the sort of Instagram world, doesn't play out well in the long run in some cases. So not only that, but the way that the dating apps work, where it's all just pictures of naked junk. Anything that's on the internet doesn't truly go away. And there's musicians who can't get their careers off the ground. There's politicians who won't be supported by their own parties because they don't have a blank slate in terms of naked pictures of themselves on the internet, which never truly go away.
No.
So, I mean, there is a growing issue with that. You know, depending on the kind of career you want to have in your future, just don't ever take a naked picture of yourself. Well,
because you can never know.
Don't take a digital naked picture of yourself. That's what Polaroids are for, baby.
Well, then you can take a photo of the Polaroid.
Well, I mean, you could also take a photo of a naked person. It's just...
That's true. All right. Well, I mean, the issue here, I mean, there's one complaint. So not all of them were tied to specific teachers, but seven of them were. Most of them came in right after the...
I wish they had this snitch line when I was in high school, because my grade 12 and OAC, which still existed when I was in school, math teacher would not shut up about her daughter's gymnastic class, and we learned no math. And this is the kind of thing that ought to be for. But in this case, it's kind of gone in a weird direction.
I mean, I feel like you could talk to the department head and then the principal, and like that you don't need to tell the government.
I mean...
You know what I mean? I've had it. I will tell the government. So anyway, one of the CBS actually pulled the complaints, and one of them reads... I do not want my child learning about this. It was about same-sex marriage. A teacher had said that he's going to teach the kids about same-sex marriage. Bearing in mind, same-sex marriage has been legal for over 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a thing that happens. Gay people, they get married. Life goes on. The world hasn't ended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine.
And usually the lesson plans are gay marriage, semicolon. It's a thing.
Or really, it's end of story. Like marriage. You know, it's a religious institution or a secular measure.
The way you said it that has... was exactly the same way as in The Princess Bride, by the way. When you went, marriage!
But it's like, marriage, it happens, you know? It could be a man and a woman and a woman, yeah. A man and a man. There's all different dynamics. And you know why that's important?
And the traditional lesson on masturbation was... A lot of people do it. If people are telling you that nobody does it except for you and you're weird, they're bloody lying.
Things that won't happen, hairy palms. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
But it can go back to wherever it came from. Go back.
There is
clear evidence that that's not accurate. I've been single
for a long time, so I mean. Also, observe the knuckles, so.
But no, it's the idea that, you know, it's... It's not like, okay, kids, huddle around. Let me tell you what the homos do. That's not it. It's like there's marriage as an element of, you know, relationships. Mm-hmm. Some of those kids in those classes may have married parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of the lessons are myth-busting.
It normalizes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she said, this woman who complained, I do not want my child learning about this vile act. And Mr. Ford has made it clear that she should be fired. and go to hell for teaching this. Please investigate. If my child is taught about same-sex marriage, I will sue.
I mean, they know about that fact that if you tell your kid that something is disgusting and gross and inappropriate, they're just going to run out and do it, right? Like, that parent's child is going to go off and just, like, have fun at a bathhouse just to spite their mom. Like, yeah, look at me, mom. Look what I'm doing. Well, maybe not actually look at me, but, you know, in their own mind, you know. It's just... You know, the rates of teenage alcoholism in Germany, where the drinking age is 14, is like almost zero because they normalize it, they make it big whoop-de-doo. You know, people learn how to drink with their families, where they're like, oh no, you've had two. Like, that's enough. This is what a limit looks like. We're not at a wedding. There's no throwing up on a Tuesday. Two is enough. Like, it's this sort of like normalization and making people comfortable with it, and you get them young, but you don't hit them hard, because in the end, like, if you're talking about limits with, like, drinking beer responsibly as an adult, or with, like, same-sex issues, 90% of it's going to be you figuring it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Mostly you're just there to help them protect themselves, to myth-bust about the lies that are out there about stuff, and to just help people protect themselves.
So what I think we're going to see more legal action over this. The Ministry of Education has said that the flagged submissions were those which included allegations of professional misconduct by a member of the teaching profession.
Okay.
Experts in the field have said that talking about same-sex marriage and sexting, both of which are illegal in Canada, do not constitute professional misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And bear in mind that the fact that the Ford government legally argued that there's leeway, which is why teachers, you know, this isn't a charter breach.
Right.
You know, it's because they have all this leeway. Well, apparently the reality isn't shaken up to be just quite the same thing. So we'll see. We'll follow the story as it continues.
I remember when I was in high school, I found sex ed to be lackluster, but on, I think it was PBS. No, it was TV Ontario. Late at night, they had Sex with Sue, with Sue Johansson. And now we just have YouTube with, like, Sexplanations. I actually really like Sexplanations. It's a pretty good channel.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, on the one hand, I'm sure that anyone who finds the provided education through the public board to be lackluster, they're just going to go online. Hopefully they find something that's not a heart garbage, like, burning dumpster fire website, and they're actually going to find something positive and educational. But there is stuff out there for sure. Like, hopefully teachers will be like, you know, if you want more information, these are websites and channels that are not...
Yeah, pamphlets and the such.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to touch on briefly... about the story of a Vanderkratz. She had been working for 14 years.
What did you say? Vanderkratz?
Yeah, as an English teacher and a librarian in the Surrey Christian School in British Columbia.
That was a surname? Vanderkratz was a surname?
What did you think I said?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought you were just Welshing out on me.
Vanderkratz? Anyway, so she worked for, I think it was 14 years as an English teacher. And then they haul her in. And they ask her questions such as, are you pregnant? Are you sexually active?
Okay.
Are you gay? Who are you living with?
Uh-huh.
And demanding all of these answers.
Oh.
Yeah, she was not married.
Okay.
And also not celibate.
Oh.
Well,
I feel like there are multiple courts
that
could
step in. She takes issue with the fact
that
half of the money that runs this school comes from the public.
Okay.
So it's taxpayer funded to the tune of $5 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a private school?
In BC. No, it's a Christian school in BC.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So her issue is that, you know, all of these taxpayers are putting money into it, and yet they feel that they can just fire people. Like, how would they know? Are they peeping on her? Like,
well, I mean, they asked her all those questions.
It's ridiculous.
She would have been within her rights to say, like, these are not appropriate questions to ask your employee. Like, she could sue them just for asking the questions, I imagine, if she gets a good labor rights lawyer. I don't know. I'm not a labor rights lawyer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm making it up, but I'm pretty sure she probably could get pretty fired.
I mean, what's really interesting about this is that this sort of has sparked a broader discussion around religious schools across Canada.
And why they exist at all.
Well, it's not just that, but it's about they can exist all they like. I think that's fine.
Okay.
In the UK, there's a push to actually have universal standards of education, because education is not standardized across school boards, private school boards, public school boards. Mm-hmm. In Canada, you've got public, private, Catholic, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. French, English, there's a whole myriad of school boards. But what the interesting discussion is that a lot of these schools have religious exemptions from human rights legislation specifically in order to discriminate in terms of the hiring, firing, and so on and so forth. And the argument is, why are we, the public taxpayers, paying for a school to be able to legally discriminate against what our charter protections?
Exactly.
Like, is this something that Canada now believes is acceptable?
Yeah.
And it's sort of throwing into sharp contrast, you know, a school within a religious environment is fine. A school where your faith and your education are intertwined, that's fine. I have no issue with that. But sort of following somebody home, checking in on their love life, you know, like I said, unless it was the janitor on the desk, I don't think it's relevant. Canadian education and LGBT rights and sort of the rights of the person in general, you know, is really becoming a hot topic all across Canada. You know, this is...
You know what I think the real problem is? The Federal Ministry of Education isn't stepping in.
You've brought it up. Again, there is no Federal Ministry of Education. But I'm actually going to refer to Justin Trudeau's father, Pierre-Elliott Trudeau, who said that the nation has no business, or the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation. I believe
it's... Bedrooms of its people.
Bedrooms of its people. I know. It was... Sorry about the
it was also a French quote that's been translated.
Shouldn't be in the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And I think it was regarding the abortion debate, I think.
No, it was about same-sex, decriminalizing same-sex.
Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah. And I think that's absolutely true. You know, what happens in the privacy of one's home, as long as it's not breaking the law.
Yeah.
And last that I heard, consenting heterosexual sex did not break the law.
I mean, it does in Alabama if there's more than one dildo in the house.
Yeah, actually, for a long time...
Which I still think
if there's any... So, but that's my issue is, you know, I think that maybe we should be looking at, have these school boards gone too far? Is the lack of regulation here running amok? You know, Canada is a Christian country. I very much believe that. It's history, it's culture.
Predominantly, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But its people are not all Christian.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like, I think it's Latvia is the most atheist country in the world. And if you actually talked, it's either Latvia or Lithuania. I know it's a Balkan country. But anyway, it's either Latvia or Lithuania. Whichever the one is, the other one is the second most. Where the state itself is one of the most atheist slash agnostic countries in the world. But the people are still religious. There's still churches and stuff in the country, but they have the strongest feeling of keep your religion out of our laws, out of any state in the world. Are you looking it up? Or
yeah, I did.
Oh.
So Roman Catholics are about 38%.
Oh, the demographic of Canada, right?
Yeah, from the household survey. I think there might be another one coming out soon. But then, you know, other Christians are about 30%, and then non-religious is about 23%.
Technically, the Canada has a state religion, being Church of England.
Would it not be the Church of Canada?
Well, the Anglican Church is the Canadian branch of the Church of England, for which the Queen is the de facto head of state and is also the de facto head of...
The Church, yeah. She's anointed by God and she's the head of the Church.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those, like, technically, by the writ of the law, by a whole bunch of de facto things that we don't actually practice, yada, 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 therefore... Anglicanism.
And I mean, but I bring this up because, you know, I do not dispute. I do think these numbers from 2011 are maybe a little out of date. I think there may be more non-Christians now than there may have been then.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter...
What about the 2008 census?
My whole point here is about, you know, I accept that maybe half the population is Christian. And I accept that, you know, a good solid third of them are Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
But if they want to have a school, and it's like, you know, if they want to have a school where they want to discriminate willy-nilly, fire people who are having consensual sexual relations in their own home with other consenting adults, then they can pay for it.
I mean, I think there might also be the issue of filling it in because you fill anything in. Like, England, they
the
had...
The number of Jedi in the UK is astonishing. Because
the UK had this issue where everyone was listed as Church of England. And then I think it was, like, 2010 or something, there was a campaign for an upcoming census where they said, if you don't go to church, it's okay to say atheist agnostic. And they had this huge thing of, you don't have to fill it in. If you don't identify with a religion, you can leave it blank. It's fine. And then there was like this huge drop between the previous census and that census in terms of how many people are identifying as being religious. And at first people were saying, you know, clearly England is shifting its demographics and immigration is ruining everything. Mm-hmm. And then other people like, well, yeah, but we also had this pretty thorough campaign. And then like Pastafarianism and Jedi, Wicca... And there's another one that exploded, and some of it was joke answers, and some of it was, why is this question on the thing? But
well, I mean, in the UK, it looks the same way, I think, to a degree, to here in Canada, where the Christian schools and so on in the UK are partly funded according to the percentage of the local population that are Christian.
Right, yeah.
So the more Christians you are, the more funding there are. So when people, like, default tick Christian... these schools are getting massive funding, and the public schools, where actually a lot of these people's kids are actually going, are not getting as much funding as if they were actually accurately reflecting their religion. There are, according to the 2001 census in the UK, 390,000 Jedi in the UK.
390,000?
Jedi. That's, there are.
That's more Jedis than Kentish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a lot of Jedis in the UK.
Not a lot of people in Kent.
But there's a lot of Jedis, the whole thing. But I mean, I think that's part of the issue. I think we're going to have to take a long, hard look at ourselves across the whole of Canada.
Yeah.
Because this is something that's coming up in elections. It's the crux of a lot of the battles in, I think, Alberta.
Yeah.
You know, around the rights of parents, the argument about outing children to parents who go to GSAs.
Well, I mean, the direction they're going with gender and sexual identity is a lesson that they could be applying to a lot of things. So, you know, what do you identify as? And then you type in, I identify as gay or whatever. And then it's, and then you have other questions. So like with, or I don't know, a lot of these things are best done in multiple questions. So maybe instead of asking somebody if they're trans, you know, what is your assigned sex at birth and what is your current gender identity? And then if they're trans, that just emerges from that. You don't need... Well, I mean, it would be good for people to be able to self-identify, but if you just have, you know, this biological sex assigned at birth, currently a different gender that is not the obvious one, then they're trans, you know, or they're transitioning, or they're genderqueer, or they're non-binary, or something. I mean, they could do the same thing with religion, like what religion do you identify as, and do you practice that religion regularly? Those are two separate issues that would affect the funding, and I mean, there's a lot of things, like... Yeah, they do that with families, you know, who are your immediate family members versus who lives with you, because sometimes you have weird and interesting family structures. Like when I was growing up, we had one of my mom's friends lived with us for like 3 years, purely because he had nowhere else to go. And my mom was like, we have a spare room, we can host you for a while, and it... A while turned into 3 years. So the census looked bizarre, but it was just, Dave, he was great, played guitar.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, I think that, you know, I believe that in Ontario, you can kind of indicate if which school board you want your taxes to go to, the public school board or the Catholic school board. You know, and I think that it's important that you have that choice available as a taxpayer. Mm. There are 35 of the Surrey Christian schools that have a community standards policy. Which is what she was in breach of.
Okay.
That also includes recommendations around coarse language, public drunkenness, and watching pornography. So really, it does boil down to whether
I witnessed
folks,
all of those in like my teachers morning. When I was in high school. I had an alcoholic teacher. I had a teacher who had dirty magazines in his desk. Yeah, no, it was...
Oh my gosh.
And most of my teachers swore a lot. Yeah. So that was a... Yeah.
I mean, you were also a student there, so that's why. Now, this is a story you brought to my attention. Do you want to share it with the folks?
Yeah, it's a pretty short story. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of backstory to it, but the conclusion is pretty short, that there was is it the entire school board?
Or, Nova Scotia.
Oh, yeah, all of Nova Scotia. They're allowing a third gender option for documentation of public school students there. And the way that they're organizing it is that grades 7 to 12, you don't need parental consent. A child can go in and just change their own documentation. They can change their own official gender as listed on records. And then if you're grade 1 to 6, you need parental permission in order to change that. And I think that's actually a pretty good solution.
I mean, I'm sure some parents are going to become, you know, upset and up in arms, like, you know.
But then they turn 12.
My kid Dave is not a woman. He is a boy. He should be treated like a boy. He's not a girl. And you know, I'm using a fake example here. Mm. But you know, there will certainly be this gut reaction to, you know, this is the gender identity. It's not like signing up for the chess club. It's you know, a bigger deal than this. And what I actually like is the education department sent out a notice to all of the parents, which reads, when they feel validated, affirmed, and secure, their ability to learn is significantly enhanced. They talk about safe and inclusive learning environments are essential to children and youth engagement and success. So you could be worried whether or not Dave, or, you know, in this example, has the option of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does mean is for those kids who do take advantage of this,
their
ability to learn will improve because that environment is safer, is more accommodating, and is more accessible. Like, essentially, the school board, the Department of Education in Nova Scotia has said, you know, we're looking at a policy where, right now, without it, all of these trans kids are, you know, they're not feeling safe, secure, and they're not learning as well. With this policy, they will hopefully feel more safe, more secure, and that will improve learning. So, as a policy to improve learning, for me, it's a no-brainer.
Right. Well, so a lot of this stuff, I mean, I think this isn't, the way that I see it, I don't view it as being a policy to improve learning. I just view it as a policy to improve human rights. Whether or not it improves learning, I mean, that's a falsifiable statement. That's an empirical statement that can be proven or denied in the long term with studies and stuff like that. But even if they do prove it or fail to prove it with studies, I don't care because this is a civil rights thing. So, I mean, I like that they're taking this learning angle. It's kind of cute, but I mean, they're also making pretty strong assumptions that they can't prove yet. This is just the scientist in me who's like, I don't care about what is probably true until you prove it true. But in terms of just human rights and representation and things like that, I think from that angle, it's just like, I don't think they needed the teaching angle. I think they just needed, like, you know, the charter's changed, times have changed, affirming gender identity is now just what you do, get over it, we're going to do this now.
I think we have to give teachers here the benefit of the doubt. You know, if a student comes to you and goes, you know, this is what I'm going through, can you refer to me as they, or maybe he or she or whatever, you know, your normal teachers will be on board. You know, this is a school environment, they're there to support you. You know, and that's not what the trouble is. What they bring up, which is really interesting, is that this policy is very much in place to address substitute teachers. Teachers who show up for one day, and they're going through the list, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Smith-Jones, and just, you know, it's like, you know, Mrs. Plant, you know, just going through the list. And, you know, if you've transitioned, maybe you've been transitioning for like 4 or 5 months, and a substitute chemistry teacher comes in and misgenders you from across the room, you know, is Mr. Jones in? Mr. Jones, are you in? You know, that can be very embarrassing, very triggering. It can leave snickers in the classroom. You know, and I think that's really what this is to address, that the documentation that comes out for substitute teachers and so on is accurate, is reflective, and is up to date.
I think, that's a pretty strong point right there.
Well, we're going to jump into a track by Ria May. The new EP is coming out called Stars. We're very excited about this. This is Hold Me, beautiful song. I very much love it. Big fan of Ria May.
I've noticed.
Yeah, that we do play a lot of her. And we'll be back just after this.
Thinking about the first time I was just a kid with dope eyes, and I don't even think I realized there was anyone else like me. I remember in the first first grade. We thought that everyone would graduate, that I could untwist this fate that God had planned for me. It's such a nuisance, I just lose it like that. I don't wanna live like this, I wear them like bruises. Every bad love I had, I can't let go of it. Do you hold? Blinded by the headlines, wanna move, but I'm paralyzed. Heaven help us, I'm helpless, I'm just trying to keep my head up high. I remember in the 10th grade, we used to hit snooze and lie, and we weren't even trying. These days the sirens, they cut through the silence, can we turn down the violence? It's such a nuisance, I just lose it like that. I don't wanna live like this, I wear them like bruises. Every bad love I had, I can't let go of it. Do you hold, hold me? Hold, hold me. I'm not a god, but I'm ready to crash. I make the most, but I know it won't last. My mind is at war, but it always comes back when you hold. I just lose it like that. I don't wanna live like this. I wear them like bruises. Every bad love I had, I can't let go of it. Do you hold, hold me? Hold, hold me. I'm not a guy, but I'm ready to crash. I make the most, but I know it won't last. My mind is at war, but it always comes back.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
I want to just kick off with a quick story off the bat. Milo Yiannopoulos,
yes.
I got that right. Has been banned from Australia.
The entire continent.
Or country, in this case.
Well, I mean, Australia is the only country that's also a continent. Actually, no, India is also a continent.
I mean, it's the subcontinent of India, isn't it?
It's a continental shelf. If it breaks off and drifts into the ocean, which could happen, it'll still be India, the continent, and the country. But yeah.
I disagree. Wouldn't Antarctica be both a continent and a country?
It's not a country.
Isn't it?
It's neutral land. Although, actually, New Zealand is a part of the Australian continent. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and there's the...
Tasmania.
The tiny islands over there as well.
Oh, like Papua New Guinea and all that. That's part of the Indonesian subcontinent. Don't you know
your
geology?
You're just making these up.
Know your geology.
Anyway, Milo Yiannopoulos has been banned from possibly the continent, but definitely the country.
Definitely the country of Australia,
of
yes.
Australia on character grounds.
That's
essentially
weird.
Milo Yiannopoulos is a dick, and they don't want him there.
I feel like I agree that he's not a gentlemanly fellow.
No, he's done a few things. Like, he incited a mass protest over gay marriage in the US.
Okay.
And then promptly 2 weeks later married his husband of the moment.
Okay.
That was one thing. He also advocated for older gay men to have sexual relations with significantly younger gay men below the age of...
That one was complicated. He said it happens. Not that it's good or bad, but that it happens.
I think it was a bit more than just it happens. He was referring to... It was pedantic, but it was not a critique of pedantry. So
yeah.
It was... So anyway, this guy goes, there's trouble.
Yeah, well...
He's more trouble than he's worth.
But he incites trouble. He doesn't do the trouble himself. It's people around him doing the trouble. So, I mean, it's... This is a very complicated situation because, like, if he had bombed a place, or if he had set fire to a place, or if he had, like, let loose chemical weapons in a place, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, he should be 100% banned from your country. But banning someone for not being a great person, like, that's... If he had done something in Australia worthy of banning him, worthy of revoking a visa...
But I disagree. You know, I think that if you're a country, somebody coming to visit your country, that's a privilege. You know, Milo Yiannopoulos does not have the right to just waltz into Australia and then waltz right back out again. He's not Australian. You know what I mean? He does not have a God-given right to waltz in and out of that country. He goes in and out of that country... You know, as a guest of Australia, and if they don't want him, they can't. They don't need him. I think that countries operate like someone's house. You know what I mean? You know, if you want to invite somebody in, that's cool. If you want them in to come and do the cleaning or do the dishes or whatever, you know, that's fine. But if you don't want somebody because they're, you know, a bit of trouble, then you can say no. You know, I mean, they have the sovereignty. They're sovereign nations.
I think it's shady. I mean, if they put him, like, gave him a warning that's saying, like, if you ever come to Australia and you do one thing wrong, you will never come back. I'd be like, that makes sense.
You know, I understand that, but every time he's gone anywhere else, there's been a blooming riot. Like, you know what I mean? He's bad news.
But barring someone on what they might, on what other people might do in their name... I think that's...
Barring somebody who has a track record of every time they go somewhere to give a speech, there's a massive police operation that costs a significant amount of money, the tax dollars. I mean, I think it's a very prudent decision. We let him in. He says a few things. Everybody gets really upset. There's possibly extra violence on the street. We have to spend all the money paying the cops to be there, watching him and watching the protesters. Or we don't let him in. And we put those cops to do all of the other many things that they need to be doing. You know, why are we allocating resources for an American to come in and tell us things when he can just Skype? You know what I mean?
I only see darkness.
welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we wanted to kick off with what would sound like great news. This should be, you know, praise whoever you're praising. This is great news. Maybe they have keyword, air quotes, HIV. Isn't this fabulous?
Again?
Again. Third time's the charm.
Well, I mean, it's also every 6 months they say they've cured it, and it's...
You know, we interviewed some folks who work with HIV, and we told them, you know, what is the cure of the week? Because it's like, oh, yeah. There's a new thing. Yeah. And there are some really interesting studies out there, but we're not really at the curing stage.
And the other thing is, you know, we'll have a cure for HIV when we get a cure for the common cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have no cures for any viruses, especially not viruses that target the immune system itself. And it actually is really weird. As HIV research progresses, we actually are getting closer to a cure for the common cold, which is kind of exciting. Not that we should see this as like a mixed blessing, because that's kind of twisted, but...
I mean, we can inoculate against things and, you know...
Yeah, we can prevent. Yeah,
absolutely.
Prevention is basically all we have right now.
Mm-hmm. But if you already have it...
Yeah, no, it's what it is. I mean, HPV and herpes and all the usual...
Super gonorrhea?
Well, no, that's bacterial.
Oh.
Yeah, so is syphilis.
I just like super gonorrhea.
Yeah, because it bounces
it's
off
like
the tongue.
It's like gonorrhea with a cape.
Yeah. But anyway, so curing anything that's caused by a virus, we have nothing. Mm. The best we have right now is treat the symptoms until the thing goes away and it doesn't kill you anymore.
Yeah.
So things like rabies will run its course so long as your brain doesn't inflate so much that it crushes itself from the inside. So we treat the symptoms. Eventually your body makes the rabies go away. That's the best we have right now.
The antibodies.
Yeah, exactly. So, and suppresses it to the point where you're not dying of rabies. So we have a whole bunch of things like this where what we can do is we can stave off death, and then your own immune system kicks in, does its own job, which is the tragedy of HIV.
That's a good goal.
Yeah,
stave off death.
Stave off death. Your immune system kicks in, but the problem with HIV is that it infects the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the things that we've come to is, as Canada, is we've seen a lot of folks sign on to the undetectable equals untransmittable. And right now,
right.
The pre-exposure prophylaxis, the post-exposure prophylaxis, and the antiretroviral drugs, who are, broadly speaking, the same medication. But what it does is it prevents the HIV virus from replicating and effectively spreading into more cells in the body.
Right, yeah.
And as we've talked about this before, you know, your entire body regenerates, not like Doctor Who style, but, you know, your skin regenerates one cell at a time, hair follicles, and same with the inside as the out. So
yeah.
Your body slowly regenerates. And the idea is if the cells that are holding the HIV aren't able to replicate, eventually the number of cells that have HIV will die,
mm-hmm.
As new cells are made.
Well, historically, there have been a few cases of people who get treatments for unrelated diseases,
mm-hmm.
where after a while they realize that even without antiretroviral drugs, like without treatment, their HIV viral load never goes above a threshold where they're infectious. To say that they're cured would mean that there are no viruses left in their body whatsoever, and we can't say that for sure, but we can say that they're not infectious even without treatment. And that's still
mm-hmm.
exciting, but that's something else. In these cases is most of the time, because the ones that we've seen so far anyway, that we know about, are these young men who had leukemia quite
yeah.
often, or some other cancer.
That was the case with London, with Dusseldorf,
yeah.
which is the Newson study.
And they just got blasted with radiation and chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
Which basically just scrapes your inside out chemically. Like, nothing survives that. That's the point of just, like, this huge shotgun blast to your entire body of poison
mm-hmm.
that nothing can survive except for you. It kills off the bacteria in your gut. It kills off cancer cells. It kills off anything that's virus-bearing. It's pretty, pretty harsh. And a bone marrow transplant is said to be one of the most painful procedures you can have. Yeah.
So they're like, okay, you have one option. It is this option or death.
Yeah.
So is it really an option for, like, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry who have HIV? No, it's not. But what's really interesting is that as this is the third time
that it's
somebody with HIV who has had chemo and bone marrow transfers have gone effectively, you know, functionally cured, has gone from like X parts per million to like hardly any, if any.
An undetectable viral load. Even without treatment. Like, that's a big deal.
But yeah, they go off the antiretrovirals, which would stop the HIV from replicating, and it doesn't replicate.
Yeah.
It's not springing back up into existence. And that's sort of how they're like, maybe he's cured, because, like, the drug that stops this virus from spreading and spreading and spreading isn't in his body. Theoretically, the virus should be spreading and spreading and spreading.
Yeah.
But nothing's happening. They're sort of at the edge of their seat, waiting to see what happens, and nothing happens. But what's really interesting is that we've spoken before about CRISPR and gene editing as being a potential move forward. And that's actually what they believe that this research or this particular incident is going to feed into. The effective gene rewriting of a bone marrow transfer and chemotherapy, they're looking to see if they can do that through new technology, through the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing, to see if they can replicate it without bone marrow transfers and chemo. So it is not necessarily a cure, but it does point the direction to what may be an effective cure down the road, which I feel like is the story every time we find HIV cured by X. It's always like, maybe in 10, 20 years, they'll get there.
I mean, that's kind of how some kinds of inoculation work, because viruses won't infect cells that are already infected with that virus. The surface of the cell will have little detectors so that when the virus comes along and tries to get inside, basically what happens is the cell goes, "No, we've already got one." That was a...
I don't know why this cell is French, but there we go.
It was a Monty Python Search for the Holy Grail reference.
Oh, I see.
"We've already got one." But yeah, no. But, so if you can actually embed fake detectors into the surface of a cell, or do gene editing so that a cell will express that it's already infected even though nothing is there, that's how, I can't remember, there's a couple viruses where that's basically what we do, where we just trick the virus into thinking that everything's already infected, and they're like, "Oh, no room at the inn," so they just hang around and then get killed in the bloodstream by things that kill viruses.
The gang reference?
No room at the inn?
No.
That was actually a Jesus reference. Oh.
No, it sounded like Age of Empires. Like,
okay.
And I was like,
"Job's finished."
Yeah, I was getting an Age of Empires.
No, that's World of Warcraft.
That's the one.
World of Warcraft. No, it's not. It's just Warcraft 2.
Yeah.
Before the World of series, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good game. I liked that.
Jumping
to Cameron Hawthorne.
Ain't gonna bed just yet. Our favorite song, I'll turn it on, and you get a candle lit. We're dancing in the living room, just me and you. Yeah, there's no love till we grow old and gray. We're staying up late, dancing in the living room. Just me and you. Yeah, there's no just me and you. Now my day is ending imperfectly. No fancy night out on the town, but I'll still spin around. 'Cause these moments mean the most to me. Yeah, I got you in my arms. Dancing in